to Syria now, where the first members of a United Nations truce monitoring mission have arrived in the Syrian capital, Damascus. Another 24 monitors are scheduled to arrive in Damascus this week. They're all scheduled to travel throughout Syria. There's not a whole lot of violence in Damascus, but there have been wide reports of violence in places like Homs. The monitors will potentially be in harm's way as in their attempt to verify whether the ceasefire is being enforced. And this process, of course, has been made more difficult by a blanket ban on all journalists from reporting from inside the country. Ian Pinnell from our partner, the BBC, though, is defying that ban and has just sent us this report.
We've been walking for, I guess, about an hour and a half now over incredibly steep, rough terrain with large boulders in between. It's very, very dark. The stars are out, but no moon. And we've crossed underneath the barbed wire from the Turkish side, now in Syria, waiting to meet our contacts and move further into Idlib province. We've just emerged over the crest of the hill. A wild pack of dogs seemed to be chasing us at one point. As my eyes became adjusted to the light here, you could see a whole series of tents. And we're told this is where many of the injured, those people who've been bombed and shelled and shot over the last few days, have been brought.
Inside one of the tents, we met a small group of men huddled around a dim paraffin light, equipped with just three walkie-talkies, two Kalashnikovs, one mobile phone, and almost none of the medicine they're supposed to be administering. Tired, dirty, and despondent after weeks of assault by government troops, the doctor spoke up in his faltering English with what he called a message for the United Nations.
Stop this killing in Syria from our army. That should be to protect us, not kill us.
We traveled deeper into Syria, moving with the rebel army, driving past lush plains to the town of Masaran. The fighters have proved no match for President Assad's forces, but with a fragile ceasefire underway and UN monitors about to deploy, they're now reclaiming control of many of the areas they held before. And the wave of protests that triggered the government's ferocious crackdown in the first place has begun again.
A healthy crowd of some 300 or 400 have now gathered in the centre. A lot of the men at the front have got their arms around each other and they're swaying forwards and backwards. There are women on the outer perimeter and children have gathered up on the ramparts of what appears to be some kind of old fortress. Banners are being flown, as is the tricolour of the flag of independence. Now, the reality is that they've been beaten and they've been bloodied. Many people have been killed, but they haven't been bowed and the call for freedom is as strong as ever. And although the Kofi Annan plan calls for a political settlement, there is no common ground between these people and the Assad government.
We want to fall down this regime. The regime of Assad is killing us because we are seeking freedom.
Kofi Annan's plan says there should now be discussions between you and President Assad to reach an agreement.
The Syrian or Assad regime doesn't understand peace.
But they've stopped shooting.
Doesn't understand peace. We agree, Mr. Annan plan. But Assad, he understands only killing people, killing children, killing girls, killing women, killing men. Nothing else but this, only this.
It's true that this is just a snapshot of the country, and many Syrians still support their president. But if there's to be peace, it must be made with people here and in Homs, Deraa and elsewhere. And the violence unleashed by President Assad's men has only hardened their positions, making the task of enforcing peace hard. And you'd struggle to find anyone here who believes a political agreement is possible.
What will those 24 UN monitors in Damascus and touring Syria going to see? Probably a lot. The same sorts of things that Ian Pinnell there, a correspondent for our partner at the BBC, reporting from inside the nation of Syria.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.